Blog Talk Radio.
Between then Senator John Kennedy and then Vice President Richard Nixon, who were campaigning to get their nominations. Well, actually, they were nominated, and they were going to try to become president in 1961. Of course, we all know that Kennedy won, and I remember that. I was just a kid at the time, and being a Catholic, I supported John Kennedy. But later, we found out there were things about the Kennedy administration that have caused a lot of problems, a lot of new ideas. It's interesting. They were part of a new generation. It's not well publicized that Richard Nixon, both Richard Nixon and John Kennedy, both served in the U.S. Navy. Some people thought that John Kennedy, in the PT-109 episode, that he should have been court-martialed. Richard Nixon was also in the Navy. He also had in World War II, Gerald Ford served in the Navy, briefly Lyndon Johnson. In fact, more U.S. presidents had Navy background than Army background. Eisenhower was one of the last presidents to have served in the U.S. Army, and of course he was a five-star general. We haven't had a president since then. No, Ronald Reagan was in World War II. I think he was a sergeant, if I'm not mistaken, but he was probably better known for making movies. John Wayne also, but John Wayne wasn't president and never played a presidential role in the movies. And of course, there's questions about Mr. O. And in fact, only one of the current Republican candidates for the nomination has a military background, and that is Perry, who served honorably in the U.S. Air Force. Both Mitt Romney and Huntsman are Mormons, and so they were missionaries and didn't have to serve. Herman Cain was in the Navy civilian service. I don't know about Santorum. I don't know about Gingrich. There's nothing known, and of course, there was a brief period where young men had to register for Selective Service but not face a draft or active duty service or active service or have to go into the National Guard, which a lot of guys went into to escape Vietnam. So we'll get into that. We're having our new series called The Political Animal, and so that was supposed to go on today, and things got a bit screwed up with this new system. I still haven't got it down pat, and I've got some new equipment that we're using, and so we'll get that down Monday at our 3 o'clock show. But anyway, today October 21st, here are the interesting birthdays. Samuel Coleridge Taylor, who was an English writer at the time, a great Hungarian Jewish conductor, pianist, conductor of the Chicago Symphony. Also made many recordings for Decca London, and he made the most famous Ring of the Nibelung, all four Wagnerian operas, Das Rheingold, Siegfried, Die Walküre, You Got a Dämmerung, Parsifal, Lohengrin, and that was Sir George Schulte, who died recently. And the great jazz musician, Dizzy Gillespie, was born today. And then the guy who wrote the march to the movie Bridge on the River Kwai. And Mitch Miller did that recording with the whistle singing years ago back in the 60s. Among the deaths today, England's greatest admiral, Horatio Nelson, was killed at Trafalgar. He was also one of Britain's greatest naval victories and probably one of the last great naval victory. Nelson, they called it the Nelson Touch. And there's a famous movie with Tyrone Power, I forgot who played Horatio Nelson, but it involved the London insurance house, and Tyrone Power played the friend of Horatio Nelson. They grew up together. And also the broker at Lloyd's of London. That's the name of the film, Lloyd's of London. Great film from the 30s. And recommend it's fairly accurate about Horatio Nelson. There's also a rare movie from that period involving George Arliss, who played Wellington. And I've been trying to locate a copy of that. We thought we had it in our archives. Well, we don't. Also on this date, the famous slave rebellion in the South called Nat Turner. Nat Turner was eventually captured, briefly tried, and him and 19 others were hung. And then the great French movie director, François Truffaut, he died today. Among the events today, we in 2137 BC, we had the first recorded eclipse of the sun in China. And then this name is quite not endearing to the Filipinos, but on this date, Ferdinand Magellan entered the Straits of what is called the Straits of Magellan today, and he later went on to the Philippines and named it the Philippines. He was captured by the cannibals and eaten by a guy named Lapu-Lapu. We'll get into that because it's named after a street in San Francisco. Also on this date, in 1797, the USS Constitution, or Old Ironsides, was built in Massachusetts in the harbor there, in the shipyard there. And then this is interesting. We just had two earthquakes here in the Bay Area in Northern California and Berkeley, two or three. And it comes 22 years after the 1989 earthquake about this time in Northern California, which hit Berkeley, San Francisco, Hayward. But interestingly, in 1868, there was a earthquake in Hayward, California. So these earthquakes in Northern California seem to occur around the same time of the year, in the fall of these years. The 1989 was September. This one was on this date, October, in Hayward, California. Another state in 1945, when the De Gaulle took over the French government, he saved France, as he used to say, he saved France twice. Women were given the vote for the first time. Here's the country that started liberty with the French Revolution, and they didn't provide the franchise for their women. So that's the French for you. And in 1960, on this date, we had the final debate between Nixon and Kennedy. These were some class debates. We'll because of the screw up, we will play. We got it in our archives, but it couldn't work out the technology. We're still working on this new system, so we'll play this Monday. It's quite a debate, and it's a class act for both of these men. And then in 1988, case I worked on, the Marcos, Ferdinand, and Imelda were indicted on racketeering charges, and we still don't know where all that money went. And this date in England is known as Trafalgar Day. Now, since we had the Grady Sargent scheduled, and this was a last-minute change, we will play, because of the screw-up, my fault, where is Grady? We're going to play her interview that we did in Oakland, California, before she died. And, of course, she was a minority stockholder. You don't hear about this on the news about the Oakland Raiders coach and president. You hear everything about Al Davis, but you don't hear anything about Gladys Sargent, who is famous in her own right. So we got to give the women a fair shake, as it were. And so we're going to play. Now, where is Gladys here? I'm still trying to work out this bloody system. So we're going to play that interview again, since this is also the best of the week. Excuse me. And let me find it here in this new setup we've got. Still haven't mastered it. Here we go.
Friends, this is your producer and host, Peter Paul, with another edition of Pet Talk, Naturally. Happy 4th of July. It's fun, frolic, and fireworks. And just as a thought, don't set off fireworks at all, especially near your pets. They get nervous. But my guest today is someone who's been setting off fireworks for at least 2 decades in this state. He's been setting them off for the animals. Funny thing is, you don't see the fireworks, but you see the results. I want to welcome a person who's been working behind the scenes and who's been a great friend of the animals, Gladys Sargent. Welcome to the program, Gladys.
Thank you very much. I'm glad what you said about 4th of July, because people have just been talking to me how brave their animals are. Even now, you people have got some fireworks already. So please, you're so wonderful, be sure and tell everyone on the air that they keep their animals in over the 4th and to try to not have children have any fireworks. They shouldn't be allowed. There's so many accidents, so many animals lose their homes, so many little animals get burned and children, so we shouldn't allow them at all. We should enforce that there is no fireworks.
Gladys, you've been making fireworks in Sacramento and in Washington, D.C. Can you tell us why you've been so effective?
Well, the fireworks is really, I guess you would call it fireworks. I just feel so dedicated to help something that can help themselves. I've organized 3 children's hospital branches. I had a wonderful father who told me that he wanted this world to be a little better for me having lived in it. And that's what I try to do. Every day of my life, I try to have some fun and do some good. And the little animals can't speak for themselves, so I've made myself a one-woman campaign to go to Sacramento since 1947 and try to help the animals. I organize Pets and Pals, which is separate from my lobbying, because I help animals on my own separately with the political. But I was on the board of the Oakland SPCA. My husband did the business for them, and I met with the men. But at that time, I didn't like the way it was run. It's run much better now, I understand. And so I decided if they didn't do what I wanted them to do, take better care of the animals, that I would start Pets and Pals. I could cry when I think of a little bulldog. I went over to the SPCA, and it stood on its head practically and did all kinds of tricks to try to get me to take it out. I hadn't owned a dog. So I went home and asked my husband if I could have that little bulldog, and he said no. But I went to bed that night and made up the whole idea to start Pets and Pals. And that's an organization for spaying and altering and finding homes and doing everything we can to help the animals. We have a branch in San Francisco at 1475 Broadway, and we have a branch of Pets and Pals in Sacramento, Los Angeles, Stockton, Lodi, etc., open.
Gladys, how have you, besides Pets and Pals, you've done quite a bit with our legislature over the years. How is it that you've been so effective and a lot of other groups haven't?
Well, I don't like to say that I've been the most effective, but some of the legislators say that I'm one of the most effective lobbyists in the state, including the new governor and Jerry before him. But I think it's the basis that I try to reach their heart. When I first went to Sacramento, it was something to be laughed at. And it isn't now, because when the men have said, this is emotional and don't get so emotional, I stood up there and told them if it wasn't for emotion, they wouldn't be here. And I've tried to tell them that you don't just legislate with your head, you're supposed to have a heart and supposed to be a whole person. You're a whole person. You can't help but help every living thing. I can't stand to see anything suffer. Little animals can't speak for themselves, and that's why I'm speaking for them.
Well, in the past, you've used the technique of appealing to their hearts. Lobbyists generally have the idea of money or what can you do for me, quid pro quo. How have you dealt with that?
I don't give money. I just, I've become known that I'm working for the animals. Everybody up there knows it. And I usually get the votes because I insist on them being humane and kind. And if they're not, why, I tell them that. And I don't think any of them like to be told that they're not kind. They always want to stand up for that. One instance, there was a few Republicans came up there, I think it's about 2 or 3 years ago, and the girl Virginia that worked with me up there, we were having a time to get their vote. Now originally, my whole family, my father and my husband, were Republicans. And I was taught when I was young, you had money and you were Republican. If you were poor, you were a Democrat. I found out that that isn't the case anymore. And now I'm nonpartisan because I find out there's some good Democrats and there's some bad ones and good Republicans and so forth. Don't put anything in one category, any race, anything. It's good and bad and everything. And one case in point I thought was very good because this group of Republicans came up there. There was about 6 of them. There's some of them still left and some of them are gone. They got defeated. But they were like a group of young kids that got away from their mother and went to college, you know, to a fraternity. But this was a case of getting away from their wives and coming up, and they were staying together. We were trying to get their vote, and they were kind of laughing at us. And my friend Virginia that worked with me, she finally told me one day she was going to try once more to get their vote. And she came into one of the Ellis's up there that evening. We were having a little repast, and she said, "Gladdy, I've just had it. Those men just were making so much fun, you know, of the animal situation. I just couldn't get their vote at all." I said, "All right. One thing when you're a lobbyist, you got to know when to be nice, when to take it, when to not take it anymore." I said, "Then I've just had it. Just watch me now." So I walked up to the bar, and there was the 6 of them. I don't know whether it was 4 or 6 lined up. And I walked up, and I said, "You know, we've tried real hard to reach you fellas, to find out if you have a heart, if you care at all, and we've just given up. And I want you fellas to know, in all the years I've been coming up here, and it's been a long, long time, since 1947, and you are the worst, inhumane, unkind men I've ever met or run up against." And boy, they got up from their chairs and walked out of that bar with their tail between their legs like little puppy dogs, and a few of them started voting the right way.
Had you been a man, do you think you could have gotten away with that?
No. No, that's why I'm not all for women's lib. I am for women if they do the same job, getting the same amount of money, but I'm not trying to be like a man. When I lobby like a woman. And when it takes tears, I have tears, if it helps the animals.
You think women are more effective lobbyists?
If you, in some cases, if you use the women's technique, but if you try to be like a man, no, then you're not so effective.
So there is something to be said about feminine wild.
Definitely. You have to use it where it counts.
And you've used it where it counts. What do you think, you said earlier in our discussion that the new group of people the legislatures in Sacramento seem to be much more harder. You can't appeal to the heart. Could you expand on that?
Yes, it isn't in all cases. Most of the men I go in to see, the new men, if I say I want your vote and I haven't met you before, most of them say, oh, Gladys, we did meet you, you know, maybe they've been in different aides and so forth. But in other cases, they say, Gladys, we heard about you before we got elected. We knew we were going to have you to deal with. And some of them are very nice. Some of them I haven't even met yet. But I do find, in a lot of cases, young people and young men coming in that are harder, their hearts not so easy to reach. And they think it's kind of funny, the animal situation. And I think it's because, and I think it's a crime, that we are teaching cruelty in the colleges and the veterinary school. I know young people going into veterinary medicine because they care about animals. Then they're taught in at Davis, and that I've heard, where some of the professors say, well, if you don't go out and make so much money the first year, you're not a success. They don't tell them how to take the care about the animals. And can you believe it that most fields I've had in Sacramento, the Veterinarian Association, not individual veterinarians, there's some good ones, but the association has opposed me on practically every humane bill. And there's a good point here that a former paid lobbyist for the Veterinarian Association, and I hope all the veterinarians are listening of the association, has every time that he sees me, he's gotten down on his knees or he's bought me a drink and he said, Gladys, I want you to know I quit the veterinarian being a lobbyist for the Veterinarian Association because of you. He said, I didn't want to fight you any longer. I knew you were right and we were wrong. Does that tell you something?
Quite an epitaph to a career. Gladys, you've received many awards. In 1971, you received an award from the San Francisco Examiner. You've gotten many, many accolades along the years. Of your past career in lobbying and just in dealing with the animals, what are the things you're most proud of?
Well, the last one was the Barracuda Award. It's quite a pack, and it's got a big gold fish on it, but some people say they don't think it's a barracuda. If they have big teeth and stuff, somebody says he thinks it's a swordfish. But I like what's underneath it because it said the lobbyist, toughest to turn down, and that's what I like. The year before, I got a very surprise party on the Senate floor. They practically carried me up to the Senate floor and honored me, and it was a real surprise. And then I've had lots of things happen. I think it's nice that the president, when he was governor, Reagan, turned to one of his aides and said he'd never met anybody like me. And I love what the aide said. The aide says, you never will. And I like that, because I don't want to be like anybody else.
Gladys, there are many animal organizations out there, and some of them make a lot of noise and get very little results. Some of them make a lot of money, and very little of it seems to go to the animals. What practical advice can you give the donors to these organizations? What practical advice can you give to the organizations? What practical advice can you give to some of their leaders?
Well, it's too bad that many of the organizations that've gotten the biggest money have been the ones that have advertised so much. I know my husband didn't mind giving me the money to go to Sacramento on my own, but he says he didn't like other people taking credit for it. And I found out so many times that paid people in different organizations sit in the audience and do nothing and watch me work for free to get the bills through. Not just me, other people too. So the big thing is, in people giving money, they better find out who it is that's actually doing the work. And so many times, I know I used to come home and work till 4 and 5 in the morning getting out letters and telling other people, you know, to write and what I was doing. I can't do that anymore. So as my husband said, you do the work and other people write it up and we don't get the money. But of course, I'm not representing Pets and Pals now. I'm doing this, and a lot of the donors don't realize this, that a lot of the organizations and nonprofits cannot do a lot of lobbying. They can only do 20%, you see, of our money and of our time. And so I just work on my own at my own expense. I am not paid. They better find out the organizations that pay their help, the people that are paid, and not they're the ones getting the praise. They ought to find out the people that are doing this for free.
How do they find this out, Gladys?
Well, for instance, if they're interested in bills in Congress or they're interested in bills in Sacramento, ask their senator and assemblyman who it is that's doing the animal work, because they know.
Write a letter.
Yes.
Or call.
Write a letter or call their office. They call up Sacramento and say, who is it that's responsible for these laws going through? And if they're interested in other things locally, then they call the local pound or the local SPCA. Of course, in many cases, the SPCA will just speak for themselves. I know someone has just told me that they had called up the Berkeley Humane Society, pardon me, to ask them who was they wanted to do some work in Sacramento. A man just told me last week, and he wanted to know who was he should get in touch with that was getting the bills through in Sacramento. Now, the man he talked to at the Berkeley Humane Society knows me very well. I buy some food for them for a lot of stray animals. Never mentioned my name at all, and he knows me.
There's a lot of pettiness in these organizations.
A lot of people's jealousy. I think it's because some people get publicity, and they want the publicity. Seems like everybody wants to be president or something. President of something.
Well, yeah, she's right on that one. We'll deal with that Monday. And we're going to deal with the animal situation, for instance. So this guy who was a canine snuff artist who got a $75,000 contract to do sculptures for the San Francisco Bay Area transit system. I personally believe that he should, if he's really sorry for what he did, that he should work every weekend cleaning the cages in these animal shelters and animal control for the rest of his life. The same thing goes for Michael Vick, and also this horrible tragedy in Ohio, where all these animals were let loose, and the Bengal tigers, there are only about 1,200 of them left. I don't understand why Mr. Thompson didn't contact animal wildlife rescue service to take the animals off his hand. I don't know if he wanted to blow his brains out, which, you know, it's unfortunate, then he should have done it instead of letting these animals loose on the neighborhood. And I can't help that noise in the background. I'm sorry, folks. Don't worry, they're not torturing anybody or any animals. But, of course, the neighbors are going to be fearful, and all these animals were killed. Well, anyway, we'll end with our usual thing, politics and poker. Maybe some of these political candidates should play poker, and they may be more civil to one another.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Pony, up to you.
Hey, Johnny, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Fine.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big
Ace. Ace Bet!
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
It's cold!
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game in front. Decisions like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
where to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Merit raise.
Bet him.
Little phrase, little gold.
Well, we don't know about good or so, but we'll be back Monday, same time, 3 o'clock. This is Peter Paul Brazola. Good night.